we want to spend some time over the next 2 days in Paradise, California, where a year ago that campfire raced through town, burning 95% of it before it was finally put out. Our co-host Tanya Mosley is based in Los Angeles, and she's gone north to Paradise for this painful anniversary. Tanya, just tell us, where are you and how does it feel to you?
Well, Robin, I am at the very busy intersection of Skyway and Clark Road. And as you can hear, people are doing what they do at this time of day, headed to work, headed to school, going grocery shopping, all the things that you do. But I chose this intersection because it's significant. It is only one of a handful of ways to get in and out of Paradise. So when that campfire began to ravage this town around this time last year, this intersection was jam-packed with people at a standstill in their cars, frantically trying to get out of the city. And just to give you context on how fast this fire spread, it was spreading more than a football field a second. Mm. That's really hard to wrap your head around. So it really goes without saying that this place is forever changed. 86 people died as a result of the fire. And as you said, pretty much everything was burned to the ground.
What a grim picture you paint. But we hear the life behind you now. Paradise still stands.
That's right. People are rebuilding in this town, and a lot of folks want to come back. And you spoke to quite a few people during that time last year, and we heard from those folks that they're resilient survivors. We heard that saying, Paradise Strong. It really is the rallying cry that says to the world that we are bent but not broken. So 1 year later, we wanted to come back to really see how people put the pieces of their lives back together. And we're doing that through the journeys of three Paradise survivors who've chosen different paths to rebuild their lives.
Thank you for meeting with us,
Don't make
Tina.
Me cry.
Hi.
Don't make me cry already. Get the sympathy look. Don't do it.
No,
it's not sympathy.
No,
it is.
Let me tell you really fast, too.
We start with 57-year-old Tina Balasik. You heard her. The moment we got out of our car to meet with her, she wanted to make clear that she wants no sympathy. Paradise is her home, and she wants to tell us about it.
My grandparents lived here, both sets of grandparents, and my parents grew up here, and I married my high school sweetheart, and I can't imagine. I've been to beautiful places, but I can't imagine giving this up.
But Tina was forced to give up the paradise she knew last year when the campfire tore through the town. On the morning of November 8th, while raking leaves in front of her home, she got a call from her daughter 3 hours away in San Francisco, telling her that she needed to evacuate. Still in her pajamas, Tina spent hours in her car frantically trying to get out and watching helplessly as fire tore through her neighbors' homes. Some of those neighbors died. Feeling hopeless and certain that she was going to die, Tina decided to make some calls.
I was able to talk to all three of my kids, and propane tanks were blowing up around me, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get to watch Jackson grow up. I love you. I'm so, so sorry I didn't spend more time with you guys. And, you know, Mom, don't be silly. You're going to make it out.
So you can imagine what it feels like for Tina to meet us here on this plot of land she recently bought with her FEMA money. On it sits a trailer she bought just a week ago. She's got a word she uses to describe herself.
Brave as hell and scary. And, of course, I'm still not comfortable here. And every time there's wind or, you know, the anxiety just builds in your gut constantly.
Most of the hollow, burned-out structures in Paradise have been torn down, and it's only if you look closely that you can see the tree trunks in this wooded area are actually black and not brown. Then there are the logistical headaches of rebuilding. The town of Paradise has received more than 450 permit applications for building, and so far, only 11 homes have actually been rebuilt. Tina hasn't even applied for a permit yet. She'll be staying in her trailer until she can save up enough money.
You can live somewhere else. Why are you coming back here?
It's in my blood. I raised my babies here and fell in love here. And all the pros of my life, the pluses happened here. And the sadness here. And I grieved it and I grew and I survived here.
Come on, Cooper and Champs, come on in. Champs, come here!
Actually, I have to go tomorrow afternoon anyway to get
Carrie Stratton feels the same way. The 41-year-old mother of two was also born and raised in Paradise. And for the last year, she and her two children and her husband have lived in a trailer next to the plot of land where their old home once stood. She calls where they live now the compound.
The compound is three trailers living, pretty much camping, you know. This is my son, Tanner. Tanner, come say hi.
Hey, Tanner.
Hi.
Yeah, how's it been going for you this year?
Not bad. I kind of enjoy, I mean, it's different living in a trailer, but I'm kind of getting used to it.
The trailer is nothing special. It's small, a little cramped. But every morning, the Strattons get to look out of their trailer window and see their new house being built.
It's amazing. Like, I'm looking forward to it a lot. It'll be awesome.
Carrie hopes they can move in by April.
I really feel like we're somewhat of pioneers, you know, of the new paradise. And, I mean, the people who are coming back have, it gives me goosebumps. Like, we have a, you know, heartfelt want to be here.
The day of the fire, Carrie and her best friend, Christy Voigt, raced to save each other. Christy's two boys, Carrie's two children, and a few belongings. After all was clear, they settled together on this plot of land, three trailers, including Christy's mother, Carol Gilbert, who also lost her home. There's a feeling of jubilation now in the air. Just last week, Christy and her mother, Carol, closed on the property right across the street from Carrie. Carol says the decision to live so close to each other permanently happened one night while sitting in their lawn chairs over a fire.
And suddenly, the three of us women were sitting there one night, the old lady and the two young ones, and looked at each other and said, "We can't live without each other." I mean, it was like, we have to make a change. We had lived here together and we're closer than families. And so here we all are with, we're going to be there and they're here. And it makes me cry of happy tears.
There are lessons learned this time around in the rebuilding of Paradise. New building code requirements have been enacted to help lessen the rapid spread of wildfire. The old wooden houses that easily caught fire are now gone, and the town now requires the clearing of wood and debris near homes. Carrie Stratton sees this all as positive change.
As a community, I think that we can really lead the force, though, and make sure that we're prepared and this doesn't happen to us again, or kind of lead the way so it doesn't happen to another town.
There's also the reality that a year later, there are less people who live here now. And in some parts of town, people still can't drink the tap water. So many businesses where people worked are now gone. Just to give you an example, there used to be several dental offices in Paradise, and now there's only one. And some people, they'll never be coming back.
I will never go to Paradise again. I will never drive up there. I've already seen one house burnt down. I don't want to go up and see the whole town burnt down, because it's never going to be completely rebuilt like it was before.
We spoke with Christopher Keir by phone from his new home 3 hours away in Russian River. The campfire in Paradise was the second time Christopher lost everything in a wildfire. Yes, you heard that right. The first time was the Tubbs fire in Santa Rosa the year before.
I actually watched the fire march down the ridge above my house. I had probably 15, 20 minutes. And then I decided I would move to somewhere where it was more affordable. And Santa Rosa is not very affordable, so I moved to Paradise.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
Christopher's home was destroyed along with his sister and niece's house in Paradise. And just this year, Christopher had to evacuate from his new home because of the Kincade fire. His house is okay, but if another wildfire forces him to flee again, he plans to move out of California.
I call myself the poster child for climate change. I've lived here in California almost my whole life. We always deal with forest fires, but not urban forest fires.
These fast-moving wildfires are a horrifying new normal that leaves survivors left to figure out not only where, but how to live. It's a big struggle for Tina Balasik, the survivor we first introduced you to. She doesn't want people to feel sorry for her, but it's tough.
Yeah, I have a lot of determination to go forward, and then days where I'm so tired and I think, why me? Why not me? Why am I here? Why are they not? You know, I want to go home. Every other thought is, I just want to go home. I just want to... It's priceless what we imagine home to be, is sitting on our deck at the end of a day on our swing that we splurged on, you know, and have our glass of wine or our morning coffee and know that we've done our day good and we've helped somebody, or, you know, they get, that's gone. Now it's all about, this isn't even my property, but I'm going to try.
A year later, life in paradise. It's far from where or what it was before the fire. But through the determination and grit of the people who still live here, they're trying to turn it into something new.
I am proud of myself. Thank you for reminding me.
For Here and Now, I'm Tanya Mosley in Paradise, California.